Amazing podcast listeners, I've got a Monday Night Live episode where I interviewed Jess Williamson to share with you today. Jess is a business mentor who's had incredible success at a very young age, built a swimwear brand into 45 plus countries, was after 6 months of starting her business at the age of, I think it was 21, she said, she was debuting at New York Fashion Week. She shared some incredible insights and some of the things that can help you get over fear of failure and judgment of others and you know, get out of your own way so that you can get on with achieving what you want to achieve in your business. I think you'll get a lot of value out of this interview. So without further ado, here is Monday Night Live with special guest Jess Williamson. Enjoy the show. Here we are. The countdown is on.
Awesome.
Jessica Williamson, welcome to Monday Night Live. How do you feel?
Yeah, good. Raring to go.
Great, great to have you here. You're obviously in Perth as well, so you know that it's a very sunny day and I'm in my living room, so there's glaring through at the moment.
Oh, nice. Normally I have to close my blinds because it's too sunny coming in. Everyone in Melbourne's always jealous.
It's beautiful out there, just for the guys in Melbourne. Just thought I'd let you know that. So who have we got tuning in? Drop in the comments, guys. Say hello. I want to see who we've got on the call. Let us know where you're tuning in from. And I know there's a little bit of a delay, but I'm going to wait until some of you chime in. Who have we got in Australia? Who have we got in Perth? Come on, guys. Drop in the chat. Say hello. Don't be shy. May I send a bottle of champagne to the first one to comment? How does that sound?
That's an enticement.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea, actually.
Yeah. Awesome. We have someone from Perth here.
We have a winner, Amelia. She's always quick off the mark, Amelia. Thanks for joining us again. She's on Facebook. Who we got on YouTube? And then we got some dudes on LinkedIn. It's where my posse is. Come on, LinkedIn.
Awesome. So I can see Damien from YouTube.
My man, Damien, good man. It's good on YouTube when they're commenting because normally on YouTube, like a lot of the time, they're not logged in. So that's good.
Yeah.
Why are you doing that, guys? I've got another question for you. I was trying to read my own handwriting for a minute there. I'd like to know in the comments, you know, as business professionals, a lot of you entrepreneurs, if you have or currently work with a mentor, do you guys work with a mentor? Let us know in the chat. I'm curious to find out, and you'll find out why very shortly. If you see my shoulders tugging, it's because old Marshall's getting his Monday Night Live aggression on.
Oh, good. Awesome.
How was your day, Jess?
Yeah, it was good. Did a podcast interview earlier with my friend Ashy and just caught up with some of my clients. So it's been good.
Yeah, typical Monday in the life of an entrepreneur by sounds of things.
Yeah, checking in with all the different things, getting set up for the week.
While we're waiting for the guys on LinkedIn to show their support, wink, wink. Could you tell us a bit about your story? Like, when did you first get involved in entrepreneurship? Is it something that you've had in your system since a child? Tell us how it all began.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you are saying that because you listen to my podcast, but I have started my own businesses a long, long time ago, and I didn't actually realize that I was doing it. So I think I shared my recent podcast episode that my first business, I was about 6 or 7 years old. And it was actually called the Girls Club, where I used to actually organized activities for everyone at recess and lunch because I just thought it wasn't enough to play on the playground. So we had to have orchestrated events where I got lollies from the canteen and they were the prizes. But the teachers got wind of that and decided to shut it down and I had to refund everyone. Which really, if I was a teacher, I'd be like, let's scale this. Come on, you're charging too little. 20 cents for a sign up, that's too cheap. So got shut down. So it's probably why it took me a little while.
The regulators got you.
Yeah, exactly. So don't take no from anyone. Even if you are 7 years old and the 40-year-old teachers tell you no, go after your goals.
Absolutely.
But then I did start my first, I guess, official business when I was 22, and that was my swimwear brand, Etty Swimwear. And then since then, I've had 5 different businesses in 5 years. And now I'm doing business coaching and mentoring, which is really where I found my jam. That's kind of really what I'm passionate about and really love helping other female entrepreneurs scaling their business and unleashing their potential, getting out of their own way. All of those things really light me up now.
Yeah, that's amazing. And tell us a bit about the swimwear business, because from what I understand, you had quite instant success with that and managed to scale into 46 odd countries. You went to debuted at New York Fashion Week, was it? Quickly after you launched at 22 years old. Tell us about that.
Yes. That. It seems like it happened overnight. However, it was very fast. I had the idea, and then within 7 months, I'd launched a whole business online that I had to manufacture from scratch. I had zero experience in manufacturing, zero experience in business. I had a marketing degree and a few years working in marketing, and that was kind of it. So I spent a few months building up my Instagram prior to launch, and I think the biggest reason why it was successful was because of the mindset. I was just kind of like, I'm going to build a swimwear brand. I'm going to make it global. It's going to be huge. And what are the steps to get there? There was no thought about it. I never really thought, what am I doing? Like, I just thought, okay, what's next? What's next? What's next? And so 1 week after I launched, I was approached by New York Fashion Week scouts, and I was like, this has got to be a scam. Like, I'm 1 week into business. How is this happening? And I really narrowed that down to firstly mindset, because I went into business thinking I'm playing with the big guys. I didn't think, let me do this as a hobby first, let me play it small, and then when I scale it up, then I'll grow and go international. I was just like, let me go global from day one. So I went out there with a brand image. I invested into professional imagery, and without really knowing, I put myself alongside these other top brands. So that's where I was invited to showcase in this Australian showcase with brands that have been around for a long, long time. And there was me, because I decided that that's what my brand was going to be. And so I think that's a huge lesson for anyone. If you want to be somewhere, act like you are there now, and things just start to happen.
So did you say that they reached out to you, or did you reach out to them?
Yeah, they reached out to me. So that's where
was
I thought it must
Instagram?
Be a scam. They must have found me on Instagram, but then they sent me an email, and I was like, this has got to be a scam. Like, who is reaching out to me after 1 week in business ever? I barely made any sales by that point, and I did my research and chatted to a few of the other brands, and it wasn't a scam. And then 6 months later, I was in New York. So I had to create a whole new collection, barely sold any, spent my whole life savings on the first collection. But I said yes, and then I figured out, how the heck am I going to create a whole new collection, go to New York, pay for all this stuff, decided how to figure that out later. So I just signed myself up and said yes, and off I went. Pulled a few sick days and extra leave from my full-time job to make it happen.
Yeah, congratulations. That's fantastic. And so it sounds like, you know, you're investing in that professional imagery and talking as if the brand already is there. It sort of puts you in that category straight from the start, you know. So like if you try to save money on the photographs at the start, and you walked in and you said, well, you know, like, we haven't got the line yet, but, you know, we'll try and get it ready. Like, it wouldn't have necessarily had the same impact, by the sounds of things.
Yeah, definitely. I actually flew all the way to Melbourne because I was pretty specific on the model and the photographer and their style and what kind of brand image I wanted to put forward. So I just couldn't find that in Perth at the time. So I found this exact photographer that I really wanted to work with, flew all the way to Melbourne, and drove actually all the way down to the Mornington Peninsula, which is like an hour away from Melbourne City. So it was a big job, but it was something that was really, really important, and
that's
still
huge.
Is. If anyone looks at my Instagram, you'll see that pretty pedantic on the imagery. But the cool thing is, I've taught myself how to do the photography now. So most of the stuff on the Instagram is me behind the camera, which has been really, really handy.
Very interesting. See, flying to Melbourne for a photo shoot is a big effort, but to do it when you've just started a business in your early 20s, you've probably used most of your budget to do it. I mean, you're really putting the quality above all else by the sounds of things. Sounds like it's really paid off. So well done.
If I just went down the beach and took some photos on my iPhone, no one's going to take it seriously. Like, it's going to look like a hobby, or it's not going to look as professional. And when you've got a product-based business, trust comes from the content. Like, trust comes from the photos. You can't touch and feel it when it's online. So by seeing high-quality photos, it makes you assume, and psychology, it's just like, this must be a high-quality product. But if the photos are bad quality, then you assume that the product's bad quality. So, it's really helpful.
I was actually looking at electric bikes on the weekend online, and I saw this one that was taken with a phone. Like, and I wanted to get it, but I thought it was secondhand because it was not a professional. All the other ones were professional photos. So I called them up. It wasn't secondhand. It's just that they didn't have a photograph for it. So there you go.
So it makes a difference. And if you couldn't call them up, you'd just not buy it. So
exactly. And I think, it must apply in service-based businesses as well, because a lot of content creators talk about, doing videos with your phone and that kind of thing. And I think about it a lot to give people the right advice. And you can do that with your phone and stuff. But if you're looking to position the brand alongside companies that are investing in professional videography, then you're just going to come across not as professional, that's all. Something to think about. But every business is different, as you say, and it's, it sounds like yours was a very visual one, so photography was important. So how did you fall into mentoring at such a young age?
Yeah, so I went through a lot of mentoring coaching programs myself. So I had a lot of personal growth and development through that. And then also just looking back on what I did, like, I didn't really have any of these mindset blocks that a lot of entrepreneurs and my clients that I speak to now, they're worried about what people might think, or they've got a fear of success or fear of failure. And I just didn't have any of these thoughts. So I've kind of analyzed what I actually did to have that success. In addition to, I've actually been through a lot of coaching certifications, NLP trainings, like all of these mindset tools that I can now use. And I'm currently being certified by Jay Shetty's School of Coaching as well. So just always adding to my bag of tools, I guess, which is up here, not actually in a physical bag, but that's kind of how I came about. But I had a ton of people reaching out to me, just finding me on Instagram, my personal account, and I didn't even have my business and my personal account linked. It just, people were like desperate to find out who made this brand. So they would stalk me down and send me a message and just ask me, hey, do you do mentoring? Can you tell me how you did this? Can you tell me how you did that? And so I was doing it a bit more informally. But what I look back on now is there was no structure to it whatsoever. So there's a very big difference on sharing your knowledge and being a coach. So the way I work with my clients now is very structured. I have a lot of tools. I have a lot of things that I can use. Whereas when I look back, I would do a whole 1-hour session, brain dump to them, and they wouldn't really get that much out of it because I wasn't really digging deep and figuring out what are their challenges, where do they want to go, because just following what I've done isn't going to get you to your goals. So that's something that I'm really passionate about. Yes, I've got experiences in, 5 different business formats and all these things, but I'm really passionate about making sure that I figure out and help them figure out, because most people don't actually know what they're doing. They're just like, Jess, I want to grow my business. But why? Like, why, what for, where are you going? Once we figure that out, we can create the most direct path to get there. But most people don't know that, and they're just looking for the newest hack or the newest answer to grow their business because it looks fun and they've seen someone else earn a ton of money from it. But maybe that's not exactly what you want. So there's tons involved in that. But that's kind of how I got started, because a lot of people started reaching out. Plus, I went on my own journey of that self-development as well. So combining those, and then I just did a lot of trainings, and that's been really, really helpful. And yeah, I've been doing it seriously for about 2 years now. So continuing to grow and learn myself so I can share it with my clients and my community on Instagram. And I just because I was coming on here, I was like, holy shit, I haven't been on LinkedIn in a long time. So I went just.
Yes. What are you doing?
I used to use it all the time. It was literally the best tool for like finding contacts, like wholesale contacts, like all these massive, yeah, you know, people in the US, and I can't go to the US all the time. So I used to always use it. And then I was like, oh, I haven't posted on there in a while. So I did a post today and I'm going to be doing more posts. So I'll be doing, I'll be showing up.
Yeah, I almost said, you know, like it's not the place for a swimwear brand, but it definitely is for, you know, making connections like distributors or wholesalers or suppliers. You know, that's you do that on LinkedIn. You know,
I stalk people down. Like I had the biggest meetings ever in Melbourne. I was on LinkedIn, stalked every single person that worked at this store because I was like, I need to do a collaboration with this store with my swimwear. Added every single person, DM'd every single person. I was like, I'm here for 2 days. I need a meeting. And they were like, oh, maybe next week or, you know, I'm too busy. And I was like, no, I'm here for 2 days.
I'm
like,
only here. Okay. I'm flying out.
I'm all the way here. I came just for you guys. And
I can squeeze you in at 12.
Yeah, I said, just give me 15 minutes. And so it ended up being an hour-long conversation. We did this awesome partnership. But, yeah, it's a great tool for, like, meeting the people and finding the right people that you need and a lot of buyers for fashion brands as well. But, obviously, now, you know, I do a lot of different things, but particularly my coaching and mentoring. So, you know, hopefully I can even just share some tips and things as well.
Yeah. You mentioned like fear of failure. I know it's something that a lot of people struggle with. I don't really know if I struggle with it, to be honest. But anyway, we won't get into that. You mentioned that you haven't come across fear of failure, you know, in the past. But obviously, you've had failures. What's your relationship like when you have had failure? How do you move on from that, rather than stay there dwelling on it and beating yourself up?
The way my brain works, yes, is a little bit different. But my brain works in a way it's like, if there's a problem, I have to solve it straight away so then I can feel relaxed. So if something fails or doesn't go well, I have to sort of analyze that as fast as I can, quickly come up with a solution or chuck it in the bin and start something new. So for me, that kind of motivates me. The more I fail, the more I'm motivated. Whereas I know a lot of other people, if they fail or they have a challenge, they're like, no, get me away from this. I've got to just procrastinate and sit here. But for me, I'm like, if I just sit here, then I'm just going to think about it all day and that will annoy me more. So I have to solve it and then move on so that then I can have a sit down and relax. So for me, it's actually kind of a motivator. Best way to learn, really.
I think it ties into the other thing you said, which was, you know, spending a lot of time worrying what other people's opinions are. Because if you're not worried about it, you know, when you fail, it's kind of, I mean, why wouldn't it just be another problem that you either solve or throw in the trash? The only reason I can think of is you're worried about what other people are going to say. So and so is right. What are they going to think? And then it sort of like stops you in your tracks. Any thoughts around that?
Yeah, I mean, just one example. So I actually had a Perth events venue, started that 1 year before COVID, and I grew that business to a point where it was getting booked out every weekend and I wasn't doing any marketing whatsoever. It was just word of mouth. And so it was quite a good business going. And I actually then sold it because I decided that events just is not my thing. I don't enjoy that.
Yeah, hard work. Yeah.
That is kind of a failure in a way. Like some people would class that as a failure. Like you started this business, but you can't do it anymore. But I ended up selling that business. And actually, then there was a whole shitstorm with the landlord and they weren't going to let the new owner in. And the business just shut down. Like I've still got a whole Instagram account. Like all my whole year basically went to waste. But for me, I knew that in alignment with myself, this is not going to serve me ongoing. It's going to take time away from what I'm really passionate about. And that's been a long lesson for me to learn, is to like not do so many different things. Like, I can do all these things, but should I be doing all of them? Probably not. So for me, I guess it's just reframing the mind. And these are a lot of tools that I use in my coaching and things anyway, but it's reframing it from, this is not a failure. This was firstly a learning opportunity, but it's also coming back into alignment with myself, like what feels best and right for me. And it didn't feel right. So I'm not going to really be ashamed by that, because I'm making the best decision for me. And even if, you know, it pretty much was out of my control. So, and I'd shared that story to my Instagram community and hope that they could then learn from that lesson as well. So I wasn't really ashamed by it. It was just a lesson that then I could pass on and continue to grow.
I mean, but if somebody's stuck on, you know, thinking what other people think, worrying about what other people think, and it's affecting, you know, their confidence and their ability to take action, what are some of the tools that you use to help them through that?
Firstly, we dig deep and find out where that story originates from, like where that thought pattern originates from, because then we can sort of rewire it and reframe that. But if you think about it in a way, like there's always these quotes that are going around that people's opinions don't pay the bills. And I have had a lot of friends who literally still have never bought from me, never shared a post, never done anything to really support me in that journey. And really at the end of the day, when you look at all the people that your product or service can help, what, you know, a few haters, like even if you can make a positive impact on one person, you're all in business because you can help something or solve a problem. Then, you know, what are these people's opinions? They're not going to be your customers. Then their opinions don't really matter, and you just choose your audience at the end of the day. And we're all going to have haters. The bigger you get, the more haters you get as well.
Yeah, I'm trying to get some more haters.
Yeah.
I'm not prolific enough.
That's because you've got that point of view that haters mean you've made it. You know, the bigger you get, the more haters.
The more people that are sitting on the couch upset that you're not, the better. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And so it takes time to get there. Or, you know, you might have already had that mindset. But every day, just kind of practicing things such as gratitude, because the more that you can focus on the positives, so every time you feel like you're self-sabotaging or you've got this negative mindset, just being firstly aware of that and then shifting that into a positive mind frame or reframing that and then doing it forever. I like to use the annotation, or it's just an example. Like sometimes the way the brain works is you have subconscious mind, and the subconscious mind is the thing saying, I can't do this because of what do they say? Because you know it's logically irrational. It doesn't make sense, but we still do it and we still let it stop us. It's like driving home from work, and sometimes you get home and you're like, how the heck did I get here? That's because you've driven that route every day, 5 days a week for the past year or 2 years or however long.
You've been out drinking with Nathaniel.
Oh yeah. Yeah, but you know, it takes time for your subconscious mind to then be able to do that without you actually consciously thinking about it. So it's the same as these mindset patterns. You now know that haters are great, but other people might be thinking, oh, haters, you know, I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing because one person says so. It takes time. And the more that you can practice these mindset shifts, then it rewires your brain. You can make it almost automatic. And then the first thing you think of, if someone writes a comment on your page that's really negative, you're like, hallelujah, like, where can I get some more?
So we're doing something right, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Repetition.
Yeah. And there's another thing which has been on my mind a lot lately, which I'd love to get your thoughts on, and that sort of ties into this, and that's, you know, the whole blame game, you know, like a lot of us, and I catch myself doing it as well. But I guess I'm happy that I catch myself. I'm so kind of conscious of it. you know, we have a tendency to look for things outside ourselves to not take responsibility for where we are in life. And if you can take ownership of as much as you possibly can, I've found that the more control you have, the happier you'll be. But it's, you know, like, let's say someone rips you off, right? Someone rips you off and you lose $10,000 and, you know, what a bastard, what an asshole. But if you've got the ability, even though it may not be your fault, and I'm sure you're not a bad person, but you've got the ability to be able to go, do you know what I did wrong? I shouldn't have been in this environment. I shouldn't have said these things. I should have read this document. You know, I've learned from it and I'll move on. Mm-hmm. And you kind of drop that resentment that you're going to be, or anger that you, that hurt that you carry around with you if you don't sort of free yourself from it. But, you know, as a coach, I'm curious, like, you must come across this a lot. And, you know, how do you deal with it when a client, wants to blame external circumstances for where they're at?
Yeah. So some people are going to hate me for saying this, but every single thing in your reality is created by you. Every single thing in your reality is created by you and your mind. So I think my client's actually on this live, but just to use that as an example, I gave her this mindset shift. And so she was sort of talking with her potential client and she was giving them all the power, giving them. And I said, just to flag you on that, I won't be surprised if this person cancels their booking with you because you've given them all of the power. Unfortunately, the client did cancel with her, and that's because she created that relationship. Most people would be so quick to say, oh, that was a terrible client, or that's, you know, I'm terrible at marketing or whatever it is, but that's because in her mind she gave the client all of the power up front. Mm. Now we've shifted this mindset and she's just gotten a booking. So you really do create your entire reality. If you think you've got no money, guess what? You're not going to have any. If you think you've got no time, you're going to have no time. It's pretty much whatever you focus on is what you're going to get. And so my client, which I'm pretty sure is watching, you know, she was focusing on the fact that she did not have any clients. And so she was giving all the power to this client, the potential client. Yeah. Guess what? This client cancelled, and it sort of fulfilled that prophecy, to just dig a bit deeper. And so if we keep focusing on the negative, we're going to get more negative, but we're so quick to blame others. We're so quick to say, oh, it's because of COVID. It's because of that client was bad, or it's because I got no money. It's because of my mom, or my, you know, all of whatever you want to blame it on. It's pretty easy to blame it on that. But just in that example, that one mindset shift on what she might have been focusing on before and what she's focusing on now, it's made 100% of a difference. So yeah. That's something I'm really passionate about, but most people don't like to hear it because,
well, I mean,
it's not me, it's everyone else around me. So when you can take ownership that you create your reality, then we can create miracles. We can really do some awesome stuff.
Yeah. I just think I should say to everyone watching, if you're sitting at dinner tonight with your partner or you're at work tomorrow with one of your work colleagues and they start complaining about something, before you say, let me just flag you on that, you might want to build some rapport first. Yeah. Obviously, you know, Jess, you're like, they're coming to you for advice, and so they're going to have a, you know, they're going to be open to what you're saying, but sometimes it can be very challenging in a, you know, normal relationship to do that. I actually wrote down two companies while you were talking. I've got some referrals for you.
Oh, amazing. Well, what I would say with that is you can't help people who don't want to be helped. And that's been a lesson that I've had to learn myself, because I'm like, yeah, I've got all these tools. I've got all this knowledge. I can help everyone. Like, I've tried to help my mom. She doesn't want to hear it. So I've had to learn, like, unless people want to grow and learn and do these things, then, you know, not much we can do. But it's pretty awesome that I get to work with clients who are coming to me and they're like, give me all the things. So
yeah. And you've done some NLP training as well. I did the first week NLP prac. Done a lot of Tony Robbins changed my life with timeline therapy. we did this timeline therapy exercise and changed my earliest memory. And it completely changed my whole recollection of my childhood. Changed my relationship with money. I used to spend all my money as quick as I got it because I wanted to prove it wasn't important to me.
Yeah, and that is 100%, like, that's such a common one. I just had a chat with someone yesterday on Instagram about that. She was like, I spend all my money. I'm like, how about you spend it on some coaching so we can work on that? But, you know, she has no money apparently because she spent it on all this useless stuff. But it's like, let's work on that money mindset.
Oh, respect to Heather for jumping in the comments there.
Yeah, well, I knew Heather, sorry for using your example, but I think it's an awesome one to share with everyone.
Who else we got here? Cece, she's studying at the Social Media College, and she's from Cairns. Well done, Cece. I hope you're doing the LinkedIn marketing course there. I heard they've got a really good facilitator for the online course. It's me. Yeah.
Oh, good. Thought it might be.
Paula from South Africa, who should be coming to LinkedIn versus Instagram next week. Her friend just won two tickets, and I think she might be the special guest.
Amazing.
We got Jermaine from, where are you tuning in from, Jermaine? Traveling tailor servicing clients across Australia. Cool. Traveling tailor. I could do with a traveling tailor. It would be nice if I could travel as well. I think that's going to start soon. Thanks for all the comments. So good to see you all here, guys. Have you got any questions that you want to ask Jess while she's with us? We've just gone over 30 minutes. I'm just going to turn this light on. It's getting a bit dark now. Yeah, it's about 6:30 in Perth. I know for some of you it's quite light, quite late if you're tuning in from the East Coast. All right, so we've talked a little bit about some of the, I guess, psychological challenges. I mean, in your career, albeit very short, you know, you seem to have encountered a lot of the things that entrepreneurs encounter fairly quickly in your journey. What has been the biggest challenge that you've had to face so far that you've had to overcome, and how did you overcome it?
Yeah, and I like how you say it's short, but I actually spoke to my partner the other day and I was like, I have worked for myself for a quarter of my life. Like, that's pretty insane. but yeah, one of my biggest challenges, I think, was definitely early on. There were many. There were so many. when you work with a product-based business manufacturing overseas, there's definitely a lot of challenges where stuff arrives and it's not even the same. But that's probably another story for another day. But I think one of the biggest challenges I had early on was that I was not watching the bank account. I come from a marketing background, and if you work in corporate, you know that marketing and finance don't always get along because marketing want to spend all the money. So that's what I did. I spent all the money. And this was just before New York Fashion Week. I actually rocked up to my full-time job and I went to pay for parking and I had, like, my card declined. And I was like, what's going on? Let me log into my bank and see what's happening. There was $0 left. And I was always a big saver. I had a job since I was, you know, allowed to work, and I always had tons of savings. And I didn't even know. I didn't even know that there was $0 in my bank account. I didn't even know it was close to zero. And I couldn't even pay for parking that day. Parking was like $12 in Subiaco. And I had to go in and lie to my colleagues and say I couldn't pay for parking. And they said, don't you pay it through the app? And I was like, yeah, the app's not working either. And it was just like, for me, it was really embarrassing because I was like, how did I let this happen? And so I borrowed a couple of dollars from them and I had a couple of dollars in my bag and I paid for parking. But at that point, I was almost at my breaking point of working full time, running the business full time. It was just a lot at that time. So my mental capacity was like at breaking point. I literally had a mental breakdown. I had no lunch that day either because I was going to buy lunch because I didn't have time to make any lunch to take. So I literally had no food. I didn't eat breakfast because I was packing orders in the morning. My body couldn't function anymore. And I was so, so grateful that I have amazing parents. They literally ran me the coins back to pay my friend back. They bought me lunch that day. I don't even know why they were both available, but my mum and dad must have not been working that day. They both came down and I was just a mess. So that was a memory that will stick with me for a long, long time. And ever since then, I've always been pretty on to my finances and got myself a good accountant to help with that. So it was a massive, massive mistake, but great learning opportunity. It just wasn't that great at the time because I had to go this job that I really wasn't enjoying every day as well. So that just piled up.
I was going to say, it sounds like there would have been a few bigger things going on for the, you know, for it all to happen at once.
Yeah.
But it's interesting how you remember those things. We've all been there, and it's as entrepreneurs, like you said, you know, we face a lot of challenges. I don't know if it's like this when you start out, to be honest. Maybe that's why, you know, you had so much success, is because when you start out, you probably don't realize that it's going to be so difficult and so many challenges. But when you've been doing it for 10 years, it's kind of like to be expected. People come in and go, oh, you know, we've lost this client, I quit, or what have you. And it's kind of, after a while, you just be like, you're like, okay, another crisis. Yeah, here we go. You're just constantly solving problems and facing challenges. So if you're not, you know, interested in getting better at that, then you're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, you definitely get better at it, but also I've now implemented things. Like at the time, like I said, I wouldn't have been looking after my mental health at all, not even my physical health. And so now I have a lot of like rituals and things and meditation, yeah, okay, and time out. And, you know, you've got to implement these things. Otherwise, you literally will fall apart, I think.
Yeah, that's very clever. I mean, even with Marshall, you know, I take him on a walk in the morning every day. But on Mondays, because he's so hyperactive in Monday Night Live, I always take him down the park before Monday Night Live, and he's still hyperactive. That's my ritual with him. Anyway, I had a question that I was going to ask. What was it? That's right. I'm curious, given that you've done so much coaching and mentoring yourself and you are one, who's had the biggest impact on your career?
Oh, so many people. I think one of the first people that had a huge impact on me was actually a uni lecturer, like a uni tutor. And she was the best uni tutor because she was like, screw the textbook, I'm going to teach you real marketing and we'll just tick the boxes so you can pass your course. Because everything else, sorry to hate on uni, but I was like, it's really not practical.
Which uni did you go to?
Curtin, and it was one of the best like business schools, but really like it was all about like planning. But we can plan as much as we want, but things in the real world don't always go to plan. So I love this uni tutor, and I actually caught up with her outside of uni because I was like, this lady, I need her in my life. And one of the first things she said to me, which was a big mindset shift, and I guess I had a lot of like imposter syndrome. I was like, you know, 17 when I started uni, so I was still a kid, and I was like, there's no way I can reach out to these people. I can't connect with, and I was big on LinkedIn in uni. I was like, let me connect with everyone so I can get a good job. But I would hit up people on LinkedIn and I would say to her, oh, I can't contact them because they are literally the marketing director for Al Gore's campaigns, like top, top people. And she was like, why can't you? And that one thing changed like the rest of everything I did. Like I'm always like, why can't you? Like we can do whatever you want. So I think that was one of the biggest shifts I've had, and everything just added on top of that. But I think that was the biggest thing because I was probably, 19 at the time, and it just changed the course of that forever, because I would have never jumped on a live here without knowing exactly what questions you can ask and all of that back then. So it's just building that confidence. And at that time, I definitely wasn't confident at all. So that was definitely a huge shift for me.
Yeah. I actually miss being 17 and being able to message somebody important. And you just get a response because you're 17, you know. It's like you can ask for help at that age and get away with it. When you get a bit older, people are less likely to have a coffee with you. I remember like when I moved to Melbourne.
Is that a limiting belief or is that the truth?
Well, I've had a couple of stories that I based my limiting belief on. So,
okay.
But I
have a coffee with you if you want to reach out to me on LinkedIn. We'll get a coffee.
Well, this is the thing, right? It's like now when I get people reaching out to me, and I'm like, "Well, what do you do?" And they say, "Well, I'm a uni student." And I'm like, "Okay, yes." You know, it's like doing events, speaking events. You know, they're like, "We don't have a budget. We'd like you to speak here." And I'm like, "Well, what do you guys do?" And if they're a business, they'll say no, because they won't learn anything if they don't pay for it. And if they're students, I know they want to learn. They're at university, for God's sake. I'll do it.
That's definitely true. Yeah. If you pay for something, you pay attention. So that's really key as well.
We got a question, haven't we? Is this a question from Matthew Mace? Jess, amazing story. How did you decide which social platform to focus on, and was your branding your design or done by another company? Knowing you were passionate about the image and brand, I'm still playing in my mind whether I'm happy with my logo, etc., even though others say that they like it and it's good.
Okay, so a few questions there. So which social platform to focus on? So for me, it was pretty clear, like Instagram was it. It was a fashion brand. Instagram has a massive audience of females, young females, and it's a visual platform. It's a visual product. So Instagram was pretty key for me. But it depends what your product is and where your audience is as to what that is. But I would just check, do you know who your audience is and where they're hanging out? And then show up there. And then in terms of my designs, so my product designs, I actually designed all of them from scratch. I did not have a fashion background. I did not know how to design, but I made it up. I was like, what is the best way to communicate what I want done? And I did it that way. And my partner is actually an illustrator. So he actually painted all of the prints that went on the bikini designs as well. So that was pretty cool. But we designed them custom. And that's why it hurts even more when your designs get ripped off all over the internet. But that's another story for another day. And as for the branding, I kept it very simple. I actually started my Instagram 3 months before launching and just had a mood board. So my mood board was all pinks, blues, whites, beach scenery. If you go on my Instagram, it's still pretty much the same. And my logo was actually, because I was working in marketing, I had a friend who was a graphic designer. So that was really, really helpful. And I just decided, you know, what is the vibe? What is the feel? And then she created a very simple logo, which is still the logo I have today. It's very simple. So it could be applied to, you know, whatever direction I took that business. But in terms of your hesitation or question around, you're not sure if you're happy with your logo, even though others say they like it, I think you have to be happy with it. Like with anything in your business, you need to be fully on board with it, because otherwise you're not going to push it out there as much. You're not going to be as confident in sharing it with everyone. And yeah, I would ask yourself, are you not sure about it because you're maybe looking for more people to be validating that idea, or is it just that you actually don't like it and maybe it's not in alignment with what you want? And friends and family don't always get it. Like they always say everything's great. So find people who get it as well, and possibly try that route.
Yeah, and make sure the people that are giving you feedback are in the target market. Like, you know, I've had lots of people say, "Oh, your videos are shit." And I'm like, "Well, you're not in the target market." They're like, "Well, screw you." But the logo, Matt, as well. Like, if you Google research on color wheels and stuff, like there's been some studies that have done explain the different emotions that certain colors can create. Like, I know blue is trust, so you'll see it a lot in finance. And then red and green, and all they have different impacts on, you know, the feel that you project. So, you know, if you've got a certain idea of how your brand should come across, then, you know, might be able to narrow it down to some colors, maybe narrow it down to some fonts, you know, simplicity, and like whether or not you want it to be displaying on, you know, mobile devices. You don't want something too complicated so that it gets, you know, distorted. And just sort of narrow it down to as few criteria. And I think that then you can kind of make a few more informed decisions. And then when people tell you that, you know, they like it or they don't, you're kind of, you know, you can assess whether or not they know what they're talking about.
Yeah. I also found that even doing market research on my stories, on my polls, you have to take it with a grain of salt because consumers don't actually always know what they want. Like take Apple, for example. Apple gives you something and you're like, hell no, I don't want this update. But when you use it, they know you better than you know yourself. So eventually you're like, this is amazing. Because I did polls on my stories. I was like, do you want high waist bottoms? Do you want low cut bottoms? No one chose high waist. Guess what? I didn't make high waist in that collection. 3 months later, when I released the collection, everyone wanted to know where's the high waist bottoms. So I don't listen to them as much anymore. I design what I like, what I think is best, and take it with a grain of salt. However, it can still be insightful. So it's great to get some feedback from your target market. But then at the end of the day, you make the best decision for you and your business as well.
Yeah, it's really good advice. Oh, I've really enjoyed our conversation this evening.
Yeah.
It's been really valuable. I hope everyone has tuned in live, you know, got some value out of hearing Jess's inspiring story. And I hope we can get you on again sometime to hear about the next chapter. Sounds like you've got a lot on your plate. So very excited. And you're in Perth as well. So we may see more of Jess, guys. But in the meantime, I suggest that you all hop onto Instagram and follow her. Seems to be where she's hanging out. What's Amber said? Re logo. If you got redesign, okay. She's got some advice for Matt. Thanks for jumping in, Amber. We've got quite a few marketers actually that tune in every week, so I'm sure there's plenty of people that could help you out, Matt. If you do want to have a conversation with anyone else, so Jess, before we wrap up, I've got a bit of a random question for you.
Okay.
I haven't thrown her off yet. I've got to come up with something. If you could be a superhero, who would you choose and why?
Now, I feel like the obvious choice would be Wonder Woman because she's like the only real female one. But...
Well, it doesn't have to be a superhero.
Okay. You know,
it could be a real person. Okay. It could be like... It could be Serena Williams, someone said once.
Oh, okay, interesting.
That was Steph Rice, the Olympic swimmer. She said it could be Serena Williams.
Oh, okay. Good answer. What if I say myself?
Ah, it was a trick question. Good answer, good answer.
Yeah, because I've been doing a lot of personal development about on myself and good I'm answer, an introvert. Yeah. And I thought to be a personal person online, I need to, you know, everyone's talking about, oh, you've got to swear and be so vibrant and like all this stuff these days. People are like, be yourself, start swearing, and I'm like, I don't swear. I'm not gonna swear. So I've been doing a lot of personal development around that myself. Like, that's okay too. Like, I can attract all the introverts out there and the people who don't want to swear. You know, yet I've realized that I don't have to be the loudest person in the room to make an impact. And did a whole podcast episode on that. So
I'm amazed there's people out there saying that because all I hear is people telling me not to swear.
And if you want to swear, go for it if that's you, but it's not you. So I'm going to say that because that's, for me, something that I'm learning to embrace. So I'm going to be myself.
Yeah, that's a great answer. So you said the other two people that have said the same answer have been Dr. John DeMartini and Grant Cardone. So you're in good company. Is wow. Obviously a good okay. answer.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Dr. DeMartini just looked at me and laughed. He said, Nathaniel, you know the answer to this. He goes, I wouldn't want to be anyone other than myself.
Yeah. Amazing.
But thanks very much for your time. I know it's late, so I'll let you crack on. I'm about to pop out for a meal down in Scarborough. So we'll catch you guys next week on Monday Night Live. Thanks for tuning in.
Awesome. See you next week. Thanks for having me, and thanks everyone for tuning in.